From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. Ole Miss and Alabama tonight from the Pavilion. 7:30 p.m. is your start time for that. All eyes on Alabama's bench is Colin Sexton, the high school phenom that's had quite the freshman season for Alabama to this point. He's missed a couple games with an abdominal injury. He is questionable tonight for that one. Clearly, it would help Ole Miss's chances if they could face the Tide without Mr. Sexton. So, Ole Miss, Alabama tonight from the Pavilion. We'll have coverage at herbalgrove.com. Talk about it a little bit today. John Summerall, the linebackers coach hire, was made official yesterday for Ole Miss. So, those among the topics on today's podcast, a podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon. Highway 6 West in Oxford. Get the lunch specials. Get the ribs at night. Go over next door to the Oxford Crystal. And remember that with Blue Sky and Gratic Oil, a couple of events coming your way in the state of Mississippi over the next month. February 3rd is the Hometown Sessions, the concert with Jamie Lynn Spears in Macomb. You can get tickets at eventbrite.com, so check that out. And then February 24th, the annual FCA breakfast on the Ole Miss campus. Gratic Oil has been a presenting sponsor for that for a few years now. Evan Ingram, former Ole Miss All-American. New York Giants tied in is the special guest for that event as well. So check those out. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for, and then he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. It's no haggling. It's really simple. You get your quote, and the rest is kind of up to you. You can shop it around, see if you can find someone to beat it. Good luck. Or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. So simple. Right to the bottom line, like I said, you get a great Ford product, great service after the sale. It's just an easy automotive experience. 662-257-1900 will make it even better. Tell Corey at the end of your deal, say, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, and it's $500 off from Clark Ford in Amory.
So,
Colin Sexton, by the way, game time decision. It's an abdominal injury. Alabama's survived without him. They are 2-0. They beat Auburn and Mississippi State without Mr. Sexton. It's a good team. Alabama has
It's a very schizophrenic team.
It is.
They have days where they look really bad,
they are like a lot of teams. They're much better at home than they are on the road. Tonight's game's on the road for them, so I'm sure they'd love to have Sexton. They're pretty talented. They're young. They're talented. Avery Johnson has been able to recruit at a really high level since he got to Alabama, at a higher level than almost any of his predecessors at Alabama. A lot of ESPN exposure for him as an NBA analyst, a former NBA
head coach
and player. That helps with elite players. I get a lot of this. Why can't Ole Miss recruit the elite player? And a little of this is chicken and egg. So much of the elite player, It's no different than I can't remember who made the comment yesterday. One of the NFL people, maybe it's the new guy that Vrabel that got the Tennessee Titans job, was asked something about minor league football. And he essentially said, we already have the best farm system in the game. It's called college football. And Nick Saban gets paid $10 million and Urban Meyer gets paid $10 million to develop our players. Well, obviously, basketball doesn't have that exact situation, but that's attractive to what that's what makes Alabama and Ohio State and those programs attractive to these kids is that they're producing loads of NFL players. Well, with the elite basketball players, they want to know one thing: who are you putting in the league? That's why yesterday John Calipari, asked about some of the recruiting losses that they've incurred, made the comment about all of his players that are in the NFL, I mean, NBA, are now worth $1 billion. That makes Kentucky attractive. It's not tradition. It's not Rupp. It's not that all that stuff. I'm literally convinced. I've said this at Alabama when I worked in Alabama for a long time. Alabama people would tell kids, hey, when you commit, talk about the tradition. Just please. And so kids would almost like throw that in. What makes Alabama attractive right now to kids is that Nick Saban's putting kids in the league. It's not because Bear Bryant won Sugar Bowls back in the 70s. It's they're putting kids in the league every year in the first round. You look up and there's Cam Robinson playing left tackle in an NFC title game. There's you know what I'm saying? They're everywhere. Well, that's Alabama doesn't have a strong NBA tradition, so they went out and got a coach with a high NBA visibility, and that has made them, among other things, attractive to these kids. It's allowed them to recruit at a higher level than they previously recruited.
It's really good news for Ole Miss because it means you can break out of your bracket. History is not the most important indicator. Now, you have to do something. There's work to be done. Yeah,
how do you get the egg?
But there's not a ceiling that you can't hit because of, well, I didn't have NBA players in the 70s. No. I can never have NBA players. I mean, Alabama's showing that. I mean, Ole Miss football is a lot of that same example. They get the 13 class. Well, that parlayed into the 16 class, and you keep going and going and have to, you know, you have to up your tier there. But
that's why I think when people talk about, you know, if they make a move, I'm very hesitant to even talk about it much because it's way too premature. Because if Ole Miss wins tonight, they're 4-4 in the league, and there's still games to be played and whatever. Their next two SEC games are at home, and Ole Miss is 3-0 in the league at home so far. So they could be 5-4 this time in 8 days. They could be 5-4 in the league right now, and people are going, well, you know, they're still in it, so whatever. But that's why I'm not convinced that going and getting the guy that's winning big in the Sun Belt or the A-10 or whatever is necessarily
SoCon
is necessarily the answer. Now, that doesn't mean those people aren't good coaches. I just don't know that it really changes the profile of your program. Changes the name. It's a new face. It's a new voice. It might be somebody who is really good on Twitter or whatever, but I don't know that it changes the way that a 16-year-old
it gives you one path, and that's to win a lot of freaking basketball games.
It does.
Yeah. That's the path. Yeah. Instead of the Alabama path is, let's try to jump tiers without actually winning, in a way.
Yeah. Well, now if the tournament were seeded today, Alabama's in it.
No, you know what I mean, though? They got those players before they won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because of their coach.
They got the players because he said, I know how to get you to the league.
Yeah, I know
how to get you to the association. I can do it. I've done it. I've coached in the NBA. Here, you want proof? Let me get you on the phone with David Robinson. Let me get you on the phone with Tim Duncan. Let me get you on the phone with people that you've heard of who can say, oh, yeah, Coach Johnson, man, this guy can really help you. He was a coach on Popovich's staff. He was the coach of the Pelicans, I think. I mean, where did Avery Johnson coach?
The Mavericks, NBA? Wasn't it?
Mavericks, that's right, Mavericks. Yeah. So he can get Dirk Nowitzki on the phone.
Yeah.
Everybody goes, well, you can't do that. Well, they do it. I mean, you know.
Come on.
Dirk Nowitzki can just be happening to be FaceTiming with Avery Johnson at the time of a recruiting deal. So that's what's – I don't know the answer, you know. I mean, that would be – if Ole Miss decides to make a move, that route would be one you would have to consider, I think.
He was the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks from 05 to 08 and the Nets from 10 to 12.
It's a lot of NBA.
Had been out of basketball since 12 when Alabama hired him in 15.
Yeah, he was an ESPN analyst.
Right, yeah.
And a really good one. So they had seen him on TV talking about the NBA. Because I promise you, the elite college high school basketball player watches the NBA religiously. So they see those guys. So that's a
to this point, it was a very smart hire.
Yeah. Oh, it jump started their program.
Yeah.
Now it hasn't produced results yet. And there are people who are already whispering that maybe he doesn't really know how to win at the college level, blah, 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 whatever that means. But it has jump-started their program, and they've went out and they've recruited elite players. Sexton is an elite prospect.
13-6, 5-2 in the SEC. They have won four in a row. They're only lull this season, really. They lost 3 of 4 at one point. They have a home or either neutral site loss to Texas, 66-50, on December 22nd. Then they beat A&M really bad to open conference play for losing at Vanderbilt and at Georgia. As you said, road losses is what it is. But they lost
the Vanderbilt loss was a bad loss for them. The other ones are kind of okay. Texas has, as Ole Miss will see on Saturday, has an elite big who very well might be the first pick in the draft.
So they come back after that. They beat South Carolina. They go win at LSU to start really a slide for LSU. They haven't been very good the last couple weeks. And then, as you mentioned, they've beaten Auburn and Mississippi State both at home without Mr. Sexton. So 13-6, 5-2, and definitely would be in the tournament were it today.
Yeah, Lunardi has them, if this tournament were
about
seeded
a 7,
today.
6?
You know, he's got them in the 8-9 game.
Okay.
I can't remember whether the 8 or the 9, it would only impact the
– I was extrapolating 5-2 and going, well, if you did do that, then you'd be really, really, really high.
No, they have tonight's a big game for them. They need to win road games to build their profile.
They've got a big week at Ole Miss, and then they get Oklahoma in the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
Yeah, at home, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, Trey Young and company.
1:15 Central on Saturday afternoon.
Did you see any of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State? I think it was Saturday.
A little, yeah. Flipped it on.
Trey Young's amazing.
Came back after the really, really bad game against Kansas State.
Yeah.
And played well. And actually started the game incredibly slow against Oklahoma State and then went
that
off.
Game, double overtime or single? Went into overtime.
Yeah.
Oak State won it.
So, for people who haven't watched a lot of basketball, what's Colin Sexton like? What's kind of the profile there?
Oh, he's super athletic. Springy, has great basketball instincts. Going to be a guy that when he's in his mid-20s is going to be a superstar probably. Has all the tools to be a great NBA player. An all-star caliber player. He's one and done. He's out.
And he was caught up in that FBI thing a little bit, wasn't he?
A little. He appeared to be very much on the periphery of it because he got cleared quickly as opposed to the Auburn kids who have not been cleared yet and don't appear to be on their way to being cleared. The kid in that Louisville deal is at South Carolina now. They've been trying
Brandon to, Bowen?
Yeah, they've been trying to get him cleared to play immediately, and I don't think that's been successful.
Ole Miss.
NCAA's backed up on a lot of things these days.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Wow. Speaking of recruiting, see where Calipari catching some grief?
Yeah, as I was saying a minute ago, he got real defensive yesterday. You know, they
haven't signed a top five prospect since Scal in the 15 class.
Yeah.
Duke has potentially the greatest recruiting class in history put together for the next season. They have the
four
number one,
the top 10.
Number one, number two, number three, and the number one point guard.
Yeah.
Put together for next season.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Kentucky's class is obviously not bad, but it's interesting from a couple different ways. The level that is required to keep that status quo from what Calipari has put in place there, what Krzyzewski is able to do at 70 years old. What?
Just.
What?
Tells you that Nike right now is putting more emphasis on Duke than it is Kentucky.
Why?
I don't know. Love to know that answer. It's got to be some internal thing that Nike is seeing that.
Whoa, you're saying the kids are not making the ultimate decision here?
I'm saying that's part of it. Okay. Nike is saying that when the kids wear their product at Duke, it pops more than when they wear it at Kentucky.
Is it because Kentucky has so many of those kids? I know Duke has a ton too, but
I don't know.
Kentucky has made their brand that.
Yes.
It's not necessarily Duke's brand.
No, it's not.
There's some subtlety there.
Krzyzewski has been able to make the Duke brand him. And Calipari has made the Kentucky brand.
Duke's brand is Krzyzewski and winning college basketball games.
Yeah.
Kentucky's brand is not necessarily winning college basketball games.
They've won a lot of games. This is the first. They're out of the top 25 right now for the first time in more than 4 years.
I mean, he's had one title, three Final Fours, and then had the NIT loss to Robert Morris or whoever the hell it was.
Yeah. But, I mean, Duke's not been like a Final Four team every year.
No. Well, no, it's college basketball. It's a tournament. You can lose. Whatever.
College basketball has become – I'll give you an example. Okay. It was just in the last couple of weeks that on ESPN.com, NCAA men's basketball was on the main dropdown. You used to have to go to other.
Did you really?
Yes. Because I would go look for scores.
Yeah.
You used to have to go to other until just literally the end of the college football season.
Okay.
I mean, a week, 2 weeks. It's become a fringe sport. It's big in March.
The only problem I have with calling it a fringe sport in a way is that if it's a fringe sport, then literally everything is a fringe college sport except football.
Except
and then
football.
Everything is a fringe sport, period, except for NFL and NBA.
NFL, NBA.
And college football.
MLB's not fringe because it's
regional, though.
It is regional, but it gets headlines all year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Golf is less fringe. Professional golf is less fringe than NCAA basketball right now.
You think so? I'm a bad person for that, so I'm asking you.
I'm talking myself through it. Well, I mean, golf has at least five events a year, six if you count the Ryder Cup when it happens, that are, okay, this is the big story. College basketball only has one. They have March Madness. That's it. Nobody else, except for the people who are junkies, follow college basketball religiously.
College basketball universe, how many people move the dial?
The college basketball universe. Well, it's part of the problem is it's just a coach.
It is. It really is, isn't it? Krzyzewski, Calipari.
Krzyzewski, Cal.
Really, they're by themselves up here. And then we go down a tier into the Bill Self, Tom Izzo, Roy Williams thing.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, if I said if I went to the casual sports fan today,
I probably would have thrown Rick Pitino in the top tier when he was there.
If I went to the casual sports fan today, not the diehard freak show.
Yeah, no.
The casual sports fan and said name college basketball.
I say college basketball, what comes to mind, go.
But if I say name 10 college basketball players.
Ooh. No way.
They're all going Trae Young.
Yeah.
They
run out quick.
Trae Young. And there's that guy. See? Name college football players that can do it. They can name quarterbacks. They probably would go, well, there was Josh Rosen. There was that Darnold guy.
Baker Mayfield.
There's some people.
The Hawaiian kid at Alabama.
That same person, name NFL players. And they all go, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, whatever,
And you say, name NBA players. And they can do it because the NBA markets their stars better than any other league in the world. Period. Name some golf guys. They go, well, there's Tiger, and there's Phil, and there's that Sergio Garcia.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Name some tennis guys. They can go, well, there's Roger Federer, and there's Rafael Nadal, and there's two or three. Name college basketball players. Well, there's Trae Young. And that's where it is. I like college basketball. I'm not being critical, but from the sport used to be more marketable than it is today. Now you market coaches.
It's because of the one and done.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
You don't have Shane Battier being the fourth-year senior.
Michael Jordan played 3 years at North Carolina.
Yeah.
You don't have college basketball teams that stay together. You don't have the Florida deal with Joakim Noah and Al Horford and Corey Brewer and where those guys played three seasons together. You don't have that. So nobody can identify with it. People criticize Andy. It's one of the reasons I'll defend Andy on this. People go, well, his teams turn over every year. I'm like, do you watch college basketball? College basketball teams turn over every year. Except for, and this is where this is interesting, except for teams in, say, the SoCon, where you have a team like East Tennessee State that is phenomenal. But they got six seniors on that team, Chase, that have played together.
All right.
And I don't know that it doesn't, But I don't know that it does. I don't know that you can do it that way in the SEC.
That's how I want to end this conversation before we go to a break and move on.
Okay.
Should Ole Miss be built that way?
I mean, if you thought you could do it, it's a great way to do it. I don't know that you can do it that way.
I mean, this is a terrible – it's much more complicated than this. But anyway, just stay with me, though.
Okay.
There's no way that recruiting those kids – because, like, this, we're not talking about Butler. We're not talking about Northern Iowa even though that's a little more flimsy to what I'm talking about here.
Sure.
There's no way if Ole Miss didn't try to put East Tennessee State's roster together in recruiting, they couldn't have put that same damn roster together.
Probably could have.
Yeah.
Probably could have gone and gotten those kind of kids.
Well, I know. I mean those exact kids.
Okay. So here's what would have happened.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So you sign those kids.
Okay.
And the collective response to signing those kids is, well, who the hell is that?
Well, you know, I get that now.
It's the Cleveland, it's the Major League.
Yeah.
Who are these guys?
Yeah.
So they come that first year playing in the league, in this league, and they're going to get their asses kicked. And big time. I mean, the numbers are going to be, whoa. People are screaming, what the hell is this guy doing?
Yeah, 4-14.
Next year, maybe they go 6-10. Still no tournament, no NIT, no nothing. And everybody's going, this guy's on the hot seat. How many years do you get? I mean, do you? I don't know that that works. I don't know. And I don't know that it doesn't.
See, there's probably a – and I don't know. I know nothing about college basketball recruiting. There's probably a middle ground there, though, where you get kids probably a little better than that coming out of high school. But then you also get kids that you can develop and are not that level that, frankly, they can't get to right now on the recruiting standpoint. There probably is that middle tier somehow, which is kind of the kids they're getting. It's just they're not getting high school freshmen and then keeping them in the program right at all. It's all JUCO. It's all international kids that are doing this. There's very few just normal recruiting
deals. Andy might argue that he had two different high school kids signed last year.
That is incredibly fair. That is incredibly fair, yes.
I mean, you know, he did have his recruiting sabotaged last year by his own chancellor. That did make the job more problematic. It's a complicated thing. Can't say the word anymore because people start drinking this early. It's complicated.
Yeah.
It's
subtle. I use that.
Should he have gone out and pressed the flesh and kissed babies and probably?
Yeah.
Probably. Would that have changed anything? Because, hey, people bring this up. Someone said this on the message board yesterday, and it's exactly accurate. I can't remember who said it.
Okay.
He was going to get Johnny O'Brien till the game changed. Read it. If you can't read between those lines, I can't really help you. I don't want to get myself sued here. They were in it on Malik Newman until they weren't.
Yeah, Kai was a little more complicated. In a way.
Kai Madden was...
Let's stick with Johnny O'Brien. Kai's a little different.
Yeah. You know, Kai Madden turned out not to be an elite player.
And then they couldn't... Good player. And they didn't get the other kid that was considering Harvard. What was his name?
Oh, the kid from Memphis.
Hollins?
Who ended up at Minnesota.
Hollins?
Hollins sounds right.
Andre Holland? No.
I can't remember. He turned out to be a good player.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, they did recruit those guys. Ironically, they lost the kid from Memphis to Tubby because he liked Tubby, which is not the first time that Andy's had the rug pulled out from under him because of Tubby Smith.
Look at you now. Yeah, Andre Hollins. Look at
Andre Hollins. And O'Brien's a good player. I think O'Brien's still in the league.
Is he?
You know, and they wanted him. And he would have been an impact guy at Ole Miss. He would have sold tickets. But the game changed. And I don't know that – I will say this. All the baby kissing in the world wouldn't have changed that. So it's really complicated. And there's blame to go around. And it's hard to put a finger on it. It's where if this – people keep going, well, if they do – okay, well, if they get there, it's why there's – you got to sit down if you're the people that make decisions and if you decide to move on for whatever reason, which route you move on to is the big choice. Because as I say about, you've heard me say this, I'm consistent on this, the day you get rid of a coach, that's over. You can no longer keep harping on that deal. It's not like presidencies where the president spends the entire first term blaming the other guy.
Yeah, and you get 1 year to blame the other dude.
Yeah, and in this case, when you are the new, if you're the new coach at Ole Miss next year, if there's a new coach at Ole Miss next year and that roster's kind of depleted, the dude you can blame is not the guy that used to be the coach. It's the dude that's sitting up there in the chancellor's box because it's his fault. This situation will be his fault. Period.
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage. Look at an Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLO. That's JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB is offering 1-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01 annual percentage yield. With the 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. They've got all of the new 2018s, a lot of great selection of previously owned Nissans, great lease deals we tell you about all the time. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Stop in at the dealership just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about it. Here on the podcast at rebelgrove.com, you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. Also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. You can click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for, and then when you get your results, kind of see what you're interested in, send Harry an email. He'll take care of the rest. It's ha@harryalexander.com. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. Be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Alabama, as Chase said tonight, 7:30, tickets available at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com.
As I mentioned in the opener, Ole Miss makes official the hiring of John Sumrall, new linebackers coach, replacing Bradley Del Pivito, who left for Texas A&M. A couple weeks ago, Matt made the hire pretty quickly, interviewed several different candidates. Sumrall coming from Troy, where he was very highly regarded with Neil Brown, and then a co-defensive coordinator at Tulane. I'm assuming that was under Curtis Williams. Kind of thinking back a little bit. I think that's right. But anyway, has run some defense before. Appears to, as we said on another podcast, be very good as far as front seven coaching, something that Ole Miss needed to upgrade there. They've done that. So he's got a good reputation, young guy, probably turns into a pretty good recruiter at some point, if not now. Just saying, I mean, that usually is kind of how that works. It takes a few minutes to get acclimated at this level. Jacob Peeler doing a pretty nice job on the staff after a little while as well, Freddie Roach, and now Sumrall. So they have upgraded and made young, in a way, the staff over the last 14 to 18 months now.
The people who are in the profession who speak of Sumrall speak highly. So he's a very good coach. They believe he'll be a very good recruiter at this level. Like you said, he's young, kind of vibrant, which I think is important. The two people that I know for sure Matt looked at that spot are both young people.
Yeah.
It's a young man's game, becoming a young man's game quickly.
Becoming younger by the day.
By the day, which makes the Saban thing just all the more remarkable. But anyway, it's a good addition. It's I don't think he looked at nearly as – I mean, I know he looked at a lot of people, but I don't think he got serious but about a couple of people. And Sumrall was one of them. He's known him for a while. He's targeted him for a while. And it appears that Matt had a pretty good plan for how he wanted to attack this.
Sumrall did play at Kentucky. I asked that question the other day, and that was correct. He played at Kentucky. While that one moved quickly, the other two are not moving so quickly. Tyler Siski for a recruiting operations job, and Austin Thomas for football GM. What are we calling this position, Neil?
It's a great. I think we can call it football GM for lack of a better term. That's the wrong term, but that's essentially what it is. Here's the thing: is on the field jobs don't have to go through this. Players you previously recruited.
It was a rule put in place a year or two ago to guard against high school coaches being hired for off-field roles to help recruit that high school coach's players. That was the general intent of the rule. However, a lot of things are getting caught up in the wash here because life is complicated. It's never going to fit into a box the way the NCAA tries to make everything fit into a box. I mean, that's some of the problem just overall with NCAA steals is they try to make one rule fit every situation at every level and 19 sports. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Instead of going, well, no, that's not really how this works, and there's no flexibility to it. It's not a living document with the NCAA at all. It's a stupid document. So Austin Thomas being held up for I don't know how long, speaking of purgatory, as we were talking about yesterday.
Oh, he's working on a month now.
Yeah, I just mean how long before it ends.
Oh, I don't think there's a deadline.
Because of Greg Little.
It's my understanding.
Yeah.
He recruited Greg Little, I guess, when he was at LSU?
I don't know. Somewhere.
He was somewhere, and he recruited Greg Little. And Greg Little's on the Ole Miss roster, and Thomas is an off-the-field job, and so...
Little going into his third season, by the way.
Yeah. And because of that relationship, it's my understanding that Tyler Siski, who is going into an off-the-field role, had an on-the-field role at South Alabama, and may have had contact while recruiting or being a member of the South Alabama staff with kids who were from Mobile who might have gone to a junior day or a camp or whatever. And the contact can be something as simple as, hey, good to have you here on the campus at South Alabama. I'm putting the extra words in to point out how ridiculous this is. Good, thanks for coming by. Thanks for coming to check us out. Really nice to have you here. Stands to reason that if you're a high school player at St. Paul's or UMS Wright or Murphy High School and you're not being recruited by the big boys, Alabama, Auburn, whatever, you're trying to get seen so that you can maybe play at a Troy or a South Alabama or whatnot, that you might go to their junior day, that you might go to their spring game. If you're a kid from Minden, Louisiana, for example, and I'm not talking about Baker, but you're not going to be recruited by SEC schools, well, you probably drive over to Ruston and drive over to Monroe for their junior days. You know, I mean, you want to get seen. You go over to their spring game when Tech plays the red-blue game. You go get – because, you know, a college scholarship is a college scholarship, so you're trying to
– where'd McCarron play?
AJ?
Yeah.
Played at St. Paul's.
Did he? Okay. Yeah.
So – stands to reason, Siski may have shaken a hand and said, hey, nice to have you here. And then those kids, one or two of those kids are walk-ons at Ole Miss now. Well, they're on the Ole Miss roster. Well, did you recruit them? Well, no.
Because clearly Siski's employment was done to make sure they kept no offense to said kids.
No, but it's this is where it's stupid. Did you recruit them?
Well, no.
Well, yeah, no, but yeah, I mean, was I ever cordial and say hello to a kid? Did I coach a kid at a camp one day? Hell, I don't know. I mean, think about a coaching camp over the course of a summer. Let's take John Summerall, for example.
Yeah.
Okay? John Summerall was Troy last summer. He'll be at Ole Miss this summer. He'll coach kids. Do you believe that if I said to John Summerall, sometime in September we're sitting down just having a glass of iced tea, and I say, hey, do you remember that high school sophomore from Boonville?
He's about 5'11". He weighed about 195, runs the –
He'd look at me like, what the – are you talking about? Well, you talked to him. You took a picture with him.
Came to your camp. You were telling him about how he had to get that shuffle a little better.
Y'all were working on his first step. You don't remember that? He would look at me like, have you lost your mind? Hell no, I don't remember that. Doing my job. Now, you know, he could tell you about the elite five-star kid that might be there, but these other kids are there, and some of those kids go to these camps just to get better in high school. And they're not prospects.
Oh, I'm aware.
As you well know, go to a camp and all the kids there are not going to play college football.
I told you my favorite whatever is that kid that showed up at every junior day for 4 years, and he would walk up and he was about 3 inches shorter than me. Weighed 155. I'd look at him and go, height, weight? And he'd go, 5'8". I said, okay. I said, what position? He'd go, defensive end. I said, okay.
Probably not playing at this level.
I was like,
all right. You know, the kid goes to the camp and the coaches coach him, and it is what it is. And so then you come back later with this stupid rule and go, well, did you recruit that kid? I don't know. Beats the hell out of me. Are you saying that I did? I mean, did I run into him? Probably. Did I shake his hand? Did I coach him at a camp? I don't know.
Sure.
Sure. Okay, well, that's a potential problem that we have to get cleared. And so this is happening all over the country. And you can imagine the NCAA, which is not the model of efficiency, how bogged down they must be. Now, as it pertains to Thomas and Siski specifically, they are not going to impact what happens in this 2018 class. They're being brought in because Matt is smart enough to know that this 2019 class and the 2020 class for him are of paramount importance, and he needs to get them in so that they can get rolling on those guys.
The Siski and Thomas issue is that they haven't gotten their contract signed yet, and they need to know they have employment so they're not getting nervous and looking elsewhere.
Sure.
That's the problem.
And you could not really blame them if in the next week or two those guys go, I mean, I'm assuming I don't know Thomas. I'm assuming he's married. She's probably saying so, kind of starting to wonder about how we're going to pay for some things, hon. Maybe you ought to call the Packers or the Lions, Titans. Let's get employment here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird rule. I mean, literally, I'm digging into it right now, and I can't even find a lot of it. It's called the IAWP rule. Individual associated with the prospect. This rule prohibits the hire of an individual associated with the prospect either to work at camps or for a full-time position in a support staff role if the school has recruited those players during a period 2 years before the hiring or plans to do so 2 years after. This proposal raised concern among some coaches who said it effectively prohibits the hiring of high school coaches, though they can be hired as an on-the-field assistant. It's extremely problematic.
Yeah, you put them on the field, it doesn't matter.
No, you put them on the field. Like Summerall got approved quickly. Clark got approved quickly. Why? Because they're on the field coaches. That's not the hang up.
Yeah. And look, I don't like the rule in general. I like the one. I understand why, in a way, they didn't like the coaches piggybacking on prospects and using the kids to their own advantage.
Are you saying there might be some nuance to this rule?
There's a possibility.
Go ahead.
I understand that part. I like that part. I don't like the coaches being associated to that level. Here's what it does do, though. It screws the really talented high school coach from being able to move up into a college staff.
Yes.
That's just really talented and the staff would like to hire him. Makes it incredibly complicated.
Yes. Makes it almost impossible.
You know, Ole Miss tomorrow goes, you know, just because he's a great coach, we really think he would help us down the road. Let's get him in this building. Judd Boswell, Clint, just pulling somebody out, whoever. Trent Hammond, Tupelo. Couldn't do it. No, he recruited their players. Can't do it. Can't give those guys those opportunities because of this, whether they're recruiting somebody at Tupelo or Clinton or not. It's crazy.
Have to put them on the field.
Yeah. Really take away that beginning role.
Yes.
That you could do.
Got Hugh Freeze started.
I think, say, Hugh Freeze today would not have come with Michael Orr.
No. Not unless they were going to put him on the field. Yeah. And frankly, when you bring a high school coach and you stick him on the field at the college level, he might not be ready for it. A lot of times that is a transition deal to getting on the field.
Yeah, Hugh was ops for 2005 and then got on the field either in six.
I think in six.
Yeah. That's right. 1 year.
Yeah.
Wide receivers coach.
Yeah. He's not taking anything to this point, right? No analyst deal or anything yet?
No, that I've seen.
It's the idea behind the rule, I get it.
Yeah.
But at some
Again, point, NCAA, one box. That's it.
Yes,
one box.
Yes. The NCAA always make fun of the guy that has chicken every Monday night. That's the NCAA. Chicken on Monday night, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, they get really confused when you might want lemon pepper on it the first Monday, and then the next Monday, let's throw some Tony's on there.
Or even if on Monday you went, no, you know what I want meatloaf. I want a pork chop. Let's do a casserole. Let's make a lasagna. Whoa! No. Monday night is baked chicken night.
Can we smoke the wings?
No. We smoke the wings every third Saturday. Period. That's them. They're in a box. That everything.
You think there are people that put their dinner mapped out on a calendar on the refrigerator?
Do I think it? I know it.
You really do?
Yes. No,
hold on. Not like little Johnny has school or whatever. You think people literally write out what they're eating a month in advance, and it is like spaghetti,
yes.
Dressing.
Yes.
Meatloaf.
Yes.
No way.
Oh, dude. There are people that if they can't park in the same damn spot, they lose their minds. There are people that just they require a structure or else they're very uncomfortable. Yes. Monday night is chicken night.
But on the refrigerator calendar.
Yes.
The 1st has chicken under it. The 8th has chicken under it. The 15th has chicken under
it.
The 22nd has chicken under it.
Yes. Do I think those people exist?
They don't.
Absolutely.
They do not.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do.
They're either the most efficient humans in the world or they're serial killers. So there's nothing in the middle.
I'm not arguing that either. Those are people that if you throw them a curveball, it is... Everything's off.
Pedro Serrano. We do not hit the curveball.
Bats. Fastball. Bats like very much. Curveball. Bats are afraid.
Anybody out there, you put chicken on your refrigerator, I need to know. Help me out.
Are you saying Jesus Christ couldn't hit a curveball? Jesus like him very much.
No help with curveball.
No help with curveball.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
Jesus, I like him very much.
The second one is still kind of watchable.
It's watchable. Then after that, it was just...
Back to the minors, Neil. The Salt Lake Buzz.
That was so bad.
Scott Bakula.
That was one of those movies that you just stop on the first one and go, that was a hit. That's perfect. It's great. Let's stop. And let people, well, what happened the next year? Whatever you wanted to happen the next year.
They won, they lost, whatever.
Whatever. That's for you to decide. It's for your imagination.
Well, because you don't even know if they won the World Series.
Right.
In the first one.
Because they just win.
They win the pennant.
They win the pennant. In my mind, they win the World Series and they're champions forever.
Well, they won the division.
That's right, because that was a one-game playoff for the division title. They played the
Yankees.
Which doesn't even make sense anymore because they're not in the same division.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And then you find out in the second one that they lost to the White Sox in the ALCS. To Parkman.
Yeah, and then they signed Parkman.
And they trade Parkman.
Yeah.
Well, so no, they didn't play against Parkman then. They just lost in the – I don't know, whatever. Sorry. But that's what it was. They won the one-game playoff to win the division – and then lost in the ALCS. And then the next year, yeah. Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
We're good. Cause they mapped out on the woman.
Yeah.
How many they had to win the division.
Yeah.
We didn't have a series in that movie.
What would you give her?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We got people that was fun yesterday actually.
Yeah, I thought we had like a lot of actual content, like a good podcast, and you don't really get talked about. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick.
So we learned that Aaron Rodgers is a six, if he's just a normal dude.
Yeah, I've got a couple different things on that from people. I'll get to that in a second. Okay. Before we do that, podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area, 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. Sign a new contract, mention the podcast, first cut is free. Then remember, as it does begin to warm up, they also do skeeter beaters, get rid of those pesky mosquitoes wherever you are in North Mississippi. So again, 662-607-7773.
I guess we'll find out this year whether the cold winter, because we've had a colder winter than we had a year ago, whether that will help with the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
That's the myth.
Is it?
I don't know if it's true or not.
Okay.
The myth is if you have a really cold winter, it kills off a lot of the mosquitoes. They're not as bad in the summer. Anyway, I have no idea if that's true or not. I guess we'll find out. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700 or Oxford, 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, whether that's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, that kind of thing, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by State Farm. State Farm is the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance, but did you know that State Farm also has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates, so give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies, your rental properties. Just go to his site, go to Google, in fact, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews, check them out, and you will see that if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, Romero Miller State Farm is the way to go. 662-893-1212.
As we get into the judging other people's looks part of the podcast, I'll tell you the podcast is also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, where you can pick up your Sildenafil. It is a $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill. that can get you ready as little as 15 minutes, same length of effectiveness as the other guys. Remember, you can even take it and only take a quarter, a half, or the entire pill. 662-252-2321. And for all the dozens and dozens and dozens of ladies listening, they have something for you too. So again, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321. So,
dozens, huh?
Dozens. Dozens and dozens and dozens, yes.
Yeah.
No one gave him higher than an 8 yesterday.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. A lot of sixes. Mostly, I would say 6.5 to 7 would be the mean of all the
based
the
on strictly his looks, not his NFL quarterback. Well,
here's the deal. Yeah. Based strictly on his looks, however, I still believe he is being graded on a curve that they can't quite get over a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too.
And since they don't know him in person, he's probably not getting the extra point bump that he would get because of his height.
Because he's 6'4"?
He's tall enough that he would get that extra point. There's no doubt the tall guy gets an extra point and a half.
Okay.
Just saying.
I agree with that.
Oh, there's no – it's
yeah.
Jeffrey and I will attest. Trust us.
It's just like bald gets you a two-point deduction. It's a two-point deduction. Maybe more than that.
You think so?
Depending on how young
we've had this discussion, you think bald is a bigger detriment than height?
I think it's right there with it, depending on age.
Okay.
As you get older, it becomes less of a deduction because there's so many bald people. But when you're in your 20s and you're bald, it's a major deduction.
Does really, really good hair as you get older become more of a positive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because, like, women like gray and stuff, you know?
They yeah, the mature, distinguished.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper
yeah.
kind of.
If you don't have any hair, you don't have any salt and pepper.
So, it's interesting because I think that he's not a bad-looking dude at all. And I guess that's why I say that is I still think on the normal street he would get a point or two higher than he's getting in these polls. If he's just if he's just Joe America dude walking through Green
Bay. It's my argument on Kate Upton all the time. When everybody goes, well, she's a 6. I'm like, stop. If Kate Upton's walking down the street in downtown Houston, she's sticking out.
Think so?
Yes. You'd say, oh, wow, look at her.
Be 200 more right behind her looks exactly the same.
Stop.
No, they all get graded on their relative curve to who they are.
Sure.
I mean, it was the joke on the message board yesterday. Like the, you know, the woman goes, my God, if y'all think Kate's a 6, what am I? I'm going, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Kate's not a 6. That's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It'd be like giving Olivia Mom a 6. Stop.
He did downgrade, though.
Yes.
It's a rebound.
It's
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Danica seems a little high strung too.
Oh, you know she's high maintenance.
Think so?
Oh, boil the bunny.
And I don't even think she's like the to like do the inheritance how we think. I don't even think she's like the high maintenance that thinks she's low maintenance. I think she knows she's high maintenance. I think everybody's in on the crazy joke a little bit here.
Yeah, she's the one that his game's at 3:25. And at 5 o'clock, she's texting him saying, text me back.
You're at halftime.
And he looks at his phone after the game and goes, holy.
You saw me, right? I'm like,
I was on the field. I did not like the way that you looked at that reporter. Stop looking at Aaron Andrews like that, you son of a. She's that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Olivia didn't seem as bad in that regard.
No, a little more laid back, probably.
Probably, I mean, look.
Yeah. We're yeah. talking degrees here, but yeah.
I hope we didn't get anybody get ourselves or anybody in trouble yesterday. I had someone tweet at me and say that their significant other had listened to the podcast earlier in the day and had some thoughts. So
and that's good that they had thoughts. I don't understand how that this listen.
I don't know that it was negative. It might have been very positive. Going, hey, did you hear what they said? Yeah. I don't know because she gave me a vote on Aaron.
Yeah. No. I think if we can't have real conversations about real life, then what are we doing here? It's someone made a great point on the message board, and this is true. This is it's probably a criticism of men more than it's men are shallow.
Yeah.
I mean, men, you take two actresses and one is scorching hot but only getting C flicks. I mean, she's not making much money. I mean, she's barely, this is really not working. And you take one that's just not good looking at all, and she's getting lead roles. Roseanne Barr, the woman in the movie about the author that she breaks his leg and stuff to, you know what I'm talking about?
What?
She kidnaps the novelist and she takes him to her cabin.
Oh, Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates.
Misery.
Yeah, Kathy Bates made a lot of money. But nobody.
I love how we're picking movies out, and you pick one from like 1986 when we're having this discussion. Okay, thanks.
Okay, but you understand? I made my point.
You know, the third lead in Gone with the Wind. I was like, no, okay, go ahead.
I made my point, didn't I? Guys are like, no, I'll take the C-lister. Women, on the other hand.
But guys are like that with guys, too. Go into a job interview and be a little fat, a little heavy.
Oh, believe me.
It's not just women from a relationship or a sexual standpoint by any stretch of the imagination.
It's not. I can tell you the people look at me, men especially, look at me differently at 210 than they did at 265.
Does the boss who's a little overweight want the little overweight guy so he's not intimidated by the better looking dude? Can it be a negative in a job interview for a male?
I guess it could.
Because my gut, women, and my gut would be that a female boss would also look at her female interviewee.
That's interesting. Would a female boss, when she's interviewing people for a job, if a woman came in to interview for a job who was just on looks alone,
a knockout,
absolute knockout, would that be a negative?
Yeah. Today's question of the day.
Would that be a negative?
And I can't answer that. I don't know, but I'm curious.
I'm not a woman. So
because I do feel like from a male standpoint, the other way, I think that I don't really think it's the better looking employer or employee doesn't get the job, but I do think it goes the other way. You've got to present yourself in the best possible light to a male boss.
That's interesting. I never really thought about it like that.
I was stopping you. You said men are shallow, and then you went to the women's side.
Women, if you offered them the same two, they're more inclined to take the heftier, pudgier guy who's making a ton of money and real successful, as opposed to the super fit, great looking guy that just can't make this work. He just can't get going. He's gonna have to think about taking a job waiting tables to supplement his acting income. Yet he's clearly a better looking guy. A little more.
Are we being a little stereotypical as society changes?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know.
I mean, more women are in the workforce. More women are the primary providers these days.
Sure.
My point being, maybe they're not as hung up on the security angle that you are referring to.
I'm not even sure that it's that. I think it might just be smart.
Okay. Better dude.
Get more going.
Yeah.
The looks are going to fade.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of 70-something-year-old people and go, God, that woman or that man is phenomenal looking. You get less hung up on that stuff.
Yeah, there's not a ton of Sophia Lorenz out there.
No.
Diane Lane, at whatever her age is. She's probably about your age, isn't she?
I don't know.
You don't think Diane Lane's close to your age?
I can look it up. I don't know.
I got it.
It's not a name that I think about every day. I don't wake up each day and go, I wonder how
Diane Lane's 53.
So she's 5 years old.
She's got you a little bit.
She's older than me a little bit.
She's a very attractive 53-year-old.
Let's see. Yeah, you would never think she was in her 50s.
Yeah, no, she's one of the better aged people there are. Bill Simmons always did like the people that were really hot for their age or whatever, and I think he called it the Diane Lane All Stars. I think she was the.
She says, "I think that anybody that smiles automatically looks better."
Well, that's true. As long as you have like decent teeth.
It's like I was in my Pilates class, and they're like, "Smile." I'm like, "I can't smile. I'm in agony. There's no smiling."
I haven't made fun of you for the Pilates, so it appears to be a good workout.
I've lowered my body fat.
Have you?
Yeah.
You testing already. It?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You're getting like all mechanical and technological with it?
Lowered it almost 3 points.
Really?
Yep.
How long?
About a month.
It means it's doing something to increase your metabolism, because that's always been your problem. You have no metabolism.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question it speeds metabolism. I don't think there's any doubt.
I guess the primary thing it's doing.
I can tell that it's doing that. And I mix it in with other stuff. I'm still lifting.
Because it's not burning more calories than you burned in the past. You've ran 15 miles a day. I mean.
Yeah, but I think what the problem with me in running is that it was becoming degenerative. There was so much pain that I don't know that the workout was very efficient anymore. I don't know that it was a good workout anymore. I mean, I had to take a break from it. And yet I was so neurotic that I was going to have to find something else to do. That's why I'm still researching the hell out of Peloton.
Hadn't moved it yet, but thinking about it still?
Still thinking about it. A lot of it's like, where do you put it? You know, I mean, there's no place to put it in here. I'd have to put it upstairs or worry about, is the Wi-Fi going to be good enough upstairs, et cetera. There's stuff I think about. But I run into people who have a Peloton, and I quiz the hell out of them to the point that they hate me.
It's also just a bike.
It is.
And I don't mean that negatively necessarily. No, no. But
you have to supplement it with other things.
Yeah, it's not like, okay, well, I'm going to go get the Peloton, and then that's it.
It's a fantastic cardio workout, but you can't do just cardio.
But it's the price of a gym membership, and it's just a bike.
Yes. Now, if you're disciplined enough, you can get some resistance bands and make a workout happen. You can get a pull-up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can get resistance bands and a pull-up bar and a couple of dumbbells and do a complete workout. I mean, you're not going to become Hulk Hogan, but that's not really the goal.
And for a tenth of the price of the Peloton, you can get those adjustable dumbbells that give you every weight in one dumbbell.
Yes.
So, ticket price is falling heavily for the Super Bowl because of Minnesota losing, by the way. Prices just...
What are the prices right now? It's not an attractive
game. About a minute ago.
Game.
Now I don't see where it is. But they were very low even compared to some past seasons when I saw. So.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought so. But anyway, Jason Kidd fired yesterday, kind of last thing. Nadal out at the Australian Open.
Saw that.
Yeah, he's just so – he just can't stay healthy. Damian Lillard upset with the Blazers. It's kind of the news from today as I'm looking. So.
Yeah, Damian Lillard has questions. I think they're legitimate questions. The other interesting story yesterday was about Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs. Kawhi Leonard frustrated with the Spurs about the way that his rehab is going. The Spurs denied the story, but no one believes the Spurs because Adrian Wojnarowski wrote the story. If Adrian Wojnarowski says something is happening in the NBA, it is happening in the NBA. You know who else has gotten hot? The New Orleans Pelicans.
Have they?
Two over 500, a game back of the Thunder. They're now in sixth in the Western Conference.
Oh, that's in sixth?
Yeah.
Can they make a move and be legitimate?
Oh, I tell you what, they have two superstars on their team.
That's what I'm saying. Give them a guard that's really good.
There is a name out there. I don't know that they could pull it off, but add Kemba Walker to the Pelicans.
Is that enough?
He'd be really good. They'd be interesting. Western Conference has a chance to be a lot more interesting than people think because Houston's legit. I mean, Houston is a legit team. The Thunder have the ability to be legitimate. And then you add a team like New Orleans. I think it's still a year early for Minnesota, but it could be. It's before you even talk about the Spurs.
Look at this here as we close today. I want to ask Jeffrey some of this on Thursday. This might become a more major topic on Thursday. Let me see if this is actually Bill Bardwell doing it or if it's something else. It's projections. We won't bring the Jeffrey in. I just want to hit a couple of these, see what your early thoughts are. Okay. Next year's NFL over-unders, projecting those for next season.
Okay.
The lowest one is the Browns again. 4.5 for the Browns. They went 0-16, so do you think they win 5 games would be the question?
I'd go under.
You'd go under?
Yeah.
Jets, 5 wins. I'd go over. I like that guy for some reason.
Probably go over.
Colts, 5.5.
Ooh.
Basically, you're deciding whether or not Andrew Luck is going to play quarterback or not.
That's exactly what you're deciding, and there's no reason to believe that he is. I'd have to right now go under.
Division,
without him, they're not a good team.
And division's a little better than gets credit for. There's Tennessee.
It's getting significantly better.
There's
Tennessee's
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's going to be a really good team.
Yeah.
Houston's got a chance to be a better team. Watson was a good quarterback.
Giants, 6 wins.
Oh.
Again, you don't know what the situation is anywhere.
I'd have to say under today.
Buccaneers, 6.5.
Under.
That division.
Division's tough.
They could go 0-6 in that division.
I don't like Winston.
No, they could go 0-6.
The other three quarterbacks in that league, you can in that division, you can count on them.
Yeah. Bears, 6.5.
I like them. I like Trubisky.
Okay. Cardinals, 7.
It feels high. Tough division. San Francisco's going to be better. You know Seattle's going to be good. The Rams are an elite team. I don't like that at all.
What if they trade for Alex Smith?
No, that would help.
Just a thought. Denver, 7 wins.
Under.
Dolphins, 7 wins.
Under.
Bills are good. Patriots. Jets, we think, are better. So yeah, somebody's going to be bad.
Under.
Washington, 7 wins.
Look, Philly's going to be really good. They get Carson Wentz back. They're obviously a very good team. They might be a Super Bowl champ. I don't like Dallas.
And the Giants aren't going to be good.
Yeah, watch. That's an interesting number there.
Bills at 7.
Over.
Okay. Bengals at 7.5.
Yeah. That's about right.
Raiders, 7.5. No major thought either way.
They're in a division where it's doable.
This is the most interesting number in the NFL.
Okay.
The San Francisco 49ers, 7.5. Do the 49ers with Garoppolo break even?
They finished 6-10, so they're going to play a down schedule.
They get a third place schedule.
Yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure how much that helps them, because actually that gives them Packers and Falcons.
It's a tough schedule. He's really good. I like him.
The question here to get them to 8-8 is, do you think they're better than Seattle? They're not better than LA, so are they better than Seattle?
They're not better than the Rams. They're better than the Cardinals. Are they better than Seattle? Iffy.
Good number.
By the way, did you see on early lines, an early betting line on some college games?
Yep.
Did you see that?
I saw Ole Miss and Tech at a push.
It's an even.
Yeah.
Flip your coin. Which is what I would have said.
Yeah, it's right around there. No problem.
We both said toss up. I love that people do that game and they'll go, that's a W or that's an L. I'm like, man, you predicting that game? That game could go either. You told me Ole Miss wins by 14. I'm like, yeah, I can see it.
It's January 23rd.
You told me Ole Miss loses by 14. I'm like, yeah, I can see it.
Titans, 7.5.
Over.
Okay.
Kind of like them.
Lions, 8.
Minnesota's going to be very good. The Bears are going to be better. Green Bay.
New coach, Matt Patricia.
Rodgers. I go under on the Lions.
Texans, 8 wins. The Titans and the Texans can't both hit their number, so.
Go under.
Los Angeles Chargers, 8 wins.
Under.
Jacksonville Jaguars, just 8.5 wins.
Over.
Do they?
Yes. I think Blake Bortles answered some things.
Falcons, 9 wins.
Oh, I think they go over that. I think both the Falcons and the Saints are really good teams.
Baltimore, 9 wins.
Under.
Carolina, 9 wins.
Under.
You think Carolina step back?
Yes.
Dallas Cowboys, 9 wins.
Under. I don't like them.
Kansas City Chiefs, 9 wins.
That's about right.
L.A. Rams, 9.5 wins.
Over.
10-6 or better.
Yes.
Minnesota Vikings, 9.5 wins.
Keenum, their quarterback? Under. They take a step back.
Okay.
They had a magical season.
New Orleans Saints, 9.5 wins.
Over.
Okay. I think so, too. I think they're good. Potentially really good. Seahawks, 9.5 wins. Under.
Under.
That's too many.
Too many.
They're getting a little older. I don't know. They got to retool some there.
They had a hell of a run.
Packers, 10 wins.
Ooh, it's about right.
They are averaging 10.6 wins every 16 Aaron Rodgers starts during his career.
Yeah, I mean, when he plays, they're very, very good. He could walk in and go pay me right now. They'd probably say, here, write a check.
Philadelphia Eagles, 10.5 wins.
Over.
Barnwell points out that they are going to re-sign 19 of their 22 starters for next year.
And I love their quarterback.
They're probably only losing Torrey Smith, Nigel Bradham, and Patrick Robinson. That's probably it of their 22 starters.
They're very, very good.
Pittsburgh Steelers, 10.5 wins.
Over.
Over 10.5?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, as you expect, to round it out, the New England Patriots.
11.5 is the over-under, I bet.
12.
Ooh, God, that's a huge number. I go under. I mean, 11-5, and they still probably win the division. That's just a lot of games to win. He's going to be 41 years old.
Yeah, I couldn't go over there and expect 13-3. That's too much for me. So, I'll buy that. Just a little NFL appetite wedding there, so we'll get that to you. Probably with Jeffrey Thursday. I do want to talk free agent quarterbacks a little bit for next season, so we'll do some of that with him. He and I were texting about it yesterday, so we'll bring that to the air. Again, Ole Miss, Alabama tonight, 7:30 from the Pavilion. Coverage at RebelGrove.com, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.